Welcome to another message from the teaching team here at Fellowship Forney. For more information about our church, service times, and location, visit us online at fellowshipforney.org. Here's Pastor Rick with today's message.
I can remember my dad saying to me, son, there are two things you want to avoid. There are two conversations you do not want to have. Avoid at all costs conversations about religion and politics. Sorry, Dad, because I'm going to talk about both of those today. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12 this morning. And in fact, we're going to go through chapter 12, 13, 14, and a little bit of chapter 15 this morning. And you're probably thinking, wow, that's going to take forever. But I promise you it won't. Because what I want to do today is I want the Word of God to be what we hear. I mean, really, I have a lot I could add, I could share this morning. But I think if we will just be silent and quiet, and if we will just tune in today to what God says in His Word, I think that will be enough. I really do. I think it will help us as we kind of walk through this topic. And it's going to be a little different. I'm just going to be very honest about that. And for those of you who may be here for the first time, or maybe it's been a while since you were here, the reason I'm doing that is not because I chose this topic. The reason I'm doing this is because several months ago, we asked you, the congregation, what are things that you want us to talk about? What are things that you would like to hear, a sermon, or questions that you might have that you would like for us to try to answer from Scripture? And this was one of them. And so I've kind of saved it toward the end. We have one more next week. I've kind of saved it for now, not because it's more important, but quite honestly, because I think it's something that we all can relate to. I think it's something that every one of us in this room, I recognize that if what is happening in the world is happening in this room, there's about 50% of you that are going to agree with everything I say today, and there's about 50% of you are probably going to hate everything I'm going to say today, all right? That's why I wanted today to let the Word of God be our voice and let the Word of God today speak to us and have very little explanation and commentary on it, because I think God's Word clearly tells us how, as followers of Christ, we can navigate all of this that is going on, not just in our country, but I would say really around the world today. The question that you asked, there were three, and the first one was this: why is there so much hate in the world? Why is there so much hate in the world? And I really think that's the way to think about it, because if you just make it exclusive to America, then you are missing the big picture. Because the reality is there is hatred all around the world. We are blessed at Fellowship. I look out in this room and I see what happened here on this stage. And I got to tell you, we are so blessed here at Fellowship to have people from different nations and different countries. We have literally become a multicultural church ever since COVID. And I don't know how the rest of you feel about it, but it has just been such a blessing to me. I've learned so much from many of you. I have. And I'm so grateful that you come here every week and you're committed to this church. And I know that if many of them had a chance to hold a microphone today or to speak to you today, they would tell you that what you're experiencing here is what we have experienced where we came from. This is going on everywhere. We have a tremendous number of families, for example, from Nigeria here in our church. And I know right now that there is major concern over the martyrdom and the taking of life for many who profess to be Christians. In fact, I want us to stop for just a moment. And could we just pray in this moment for the people in Nigeria, especially those who are followers of Christ, who are enduring uncertain times? Many have already been martyred. Churches have already been closed down. And could we just stop and pray for that? Father, I thank you that you care. And sometimes it seems like in the midst of this darkness, in this evil, that you're silent. But I know, God, that you are very well aware of the things that are happening around the world. And specifically, I'm thinking about our brothers and sisters in Nigeria who are going through really uncertain times. And God, I just pray for the strength that they will need to endure this time. And God, as you have shown us in Scripture, that we would pray for boldness, that we might in the midst of this be able to continue to speak the Word of God. I pray for those, God, who've been tried to be silenced, that you'll give them strength and courage. And I pray for any people here at Fellowship who have family members who are still caught up in the midst of that, that God, you would just comfort their heart and souls as well. And I ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I really believe that the short answer to this question is that Satan is the author of all division and evil. And I think it is within his strategy we see over and over again to divide and conquer. And that's true, ladies and gentlemen, in a country. That's true in a community. That's true in a family. And that's also true in a church. And I want to be very clear this morning because I don't know where this message will end up. I know that we podcast all of our messages here at Fellowship, and there are people that sometimes will send me an email that heard a sermon that I or Jared spoke, and they'll make a comment about that. So I have no idea where this message will end up and who may hear this message. But I want to be very clear. My concern, ladies and gentlemen, is not for all who will hear this message. My concern is for us, for the believers at Fellowship. Because as I understand it, my authority as a pastor really only exists within the framework of this body. And my concern and compassion is for us. And so I'm speaking to you today as a pastor. How do we navigate such evil that exists in the world? I do think James identified it best. James, in the book of James, said, "From whence come wars and quarreling?" Where do these come from? He's asking. And then he answers his own question when he says, "They come from within yourself. They come from within your own flesh. They come from within you." And it's true. So much of the division that exists in the world today is caused by human beings. If we can't get along with ourselves, how can we get along with anyone else? I've shared this story before, but our oldest daughter, and I suppose the other two did as well, but I just remember it most with her. She had a pretend friend by the name of Jenny. My apologies to anybody out there named Jenny. But she always played with Jenny. I mean, every day you would see her outside playing with Jenny. And I'll never forget this one particular day. I looked out and she was at the swing set and she was arguing with Jenny. Now, you recognize that Jenny doesn't exist, amen? She is a figment of my daughter's imagination. So the bottom line is, she wasn't arguing with Jenny. She was arguing with herself. And that's how we are. If I can't get along with myself, if there is a war within my own self between the old and the good nature, then recognize that there is going to be evil. Evil is going to exist in the world. Second question that we were asked was, how can I disagree with someone politically and still get along? And I think that's a question that a lot of people are asking today. How can I disagree with someone politically and then still get along? I'm going to try to answer that from Scripture here in just a few minutes. I'm going to let the Scripture answer that this morning. But I think, again, the short of that is it takes two people to get along. It really does. It takes two people to be able to have a good relationship. And we must, as followers of Christ, prioritize His kingdom above everything else. Everything else in this world matters nothing compared to Jesus. And we must prioritize Him first, and we must prioritize Him most. And then beyond that, do our best to get along with others. Third question, kind of like the first two, was this: how can I lead others to Christ who have different points of view. And again, I think all I can do is the very best I can do. And for me, that means setting a good example and then speaking the truth in love. And if we can do that, then we can leave the results to God. I learned a long time ago, and as much as I don't like this, I can't save anybody. I don't have the power to save anybody. In other words, I can't get you to heaven. I can tell you how to get there, but I can't get you to heaven. I don't have that power. Only Christ has the power to save. All I can do, the best I can do, is set a good example by being humble and speaking the truth in love and then leaving the results with God. All I can do is just simply tell people, and then the results are up to God. I've learned that. It's frustrating. I can tell you as a parent, I can tell you as a grandparent, I can tell you as a pastor who loves everybody that walks in those doors. I mean, it's frustrating when you realize that you don't have the ability to convince anyone's heart. All you can do is share the truth in love and leave the results with God. So that's my assignment. Lucky me. Lucky me to talk about something like this. But here's what I want to preface the verses we're going to read with. I want you to think about this. The early church faced a very political society. I mean, when you think about it, it came from two different angles. You had the Roman Empire, whose insistence was that Caesar is Lord. Christians said, no, Caesar's not Lord, Jesus is Lord. And so they butt heads politically. And then you have, of course, the Jewish religion, who believed in Yahweh. And to them, that's all that mattered. And therefore, because they didn't believe that Jesus was Yahweh, they rejected him. And so the early believers confronted two different political views, the Roman Empire and then the Jewish people as well. And yet, I want you to know that in the midst of all of that, the early church changed society. One of my favorite passages, and I can't give you chapter and verse right now, but you have to believe me, it's there, and you can Google it if you don't. But it's this verse where they said this: those who have turned the world upside down have come here also. Just kind of a reminder that the best way to change society is with the Word of God. The best way to change hearts is with the Word of God. And God's Word will change people's hearts. And so the first century church changed its culture. But what I'm noticing today is that culture is starting to change the church. So let's dig into that. Let's talk a little bit about that this morning. And I want to do that, as I said, by just reading to you these three chapters. So I hope you brought a Bible. It's going to be on the screen. But I just want us to kind of sit and soak this morning in the scriptures. All right? And let's just let the scriptures speak to us today. Chapter 12, let's start in verse 9. Here's what we read. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. I like this. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. And I love this. If I could take all that we're going to talk about today, and if I could just kind of sum it up into one verse, this would be that one verse. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. That's just good advice. As much as it depends on me, as much as I have the ability to, live at peace with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I just think that's an amazing and wonderful passage of scripture. I wish I could live up to it. And it brings me to the first principle. I've got four principles we're going to take from all of these verses this morning. And the first principle I want to share with you is this. Our love for each other in the church should be genuine. Our love for each other in the church should be genuine. And that's who I'm talking to. I'm speaking to us, to the Fellowship Forney body of believers. And I'm telling you that Scripture admonishes us to love each other with a genuine love. And one of the most amazing stories to me in Scripture was the night before Jesus was crucified. He met with his disciples and he gave them some final words of instruction. But Jesus did something that night that just really goes beyond what normal people would do. Because Jesus took a towel, he wrapped it around his waist, he picked up a basin of water that was most likely by the front door, and he began to go around the room and washing the feet of his disciples. And he washed every one of them's feet, even Judas. He washed every one of their feet, even Judas. And then Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, what I have done to you, you are to do to each other. As I have washed your feet, even so you are to wash one another's feet. And then listen to this. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples because of your love, one for each other. Love for each other in the midst of disagreement is perhaps the greatest and most evangelistic thing we can do to convince those who are outside of us that we really belong to Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what he said. In fact, in 1 John, where John is writing about what it means to be a Christian and really how to know that you are one, he writes this. He says, we know we've passed from death to life. And I don't know about you, but this next part's my attention. God says, this is an unmistakable way you can know that you're going to heaven. I want to know what that is. And John says, this is what it is. Your love for each other. This is how you know that you have passed from death to life because you love each other. You love the brothers. So that's the first principle. Our love for each other in the church should be genuine. All right, let's go on. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. He said, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, watch this, you will not commit adultery, you will not murder, you will not steal, you will not covet, or any other commandment are summed up in this. You will love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness or sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The second principle, you ready for it? The second principle is this, that followers of Christ should respect civil authority. In fact, Paul says that those who are in that position, they didn't get there by accident. I know, look, man, sometimes you wake up after an election and you say, how in the world did that person get there? You know, how in the world did that person ever get elected? You know, but what the scripture is telling us is that where God doesn't rule, he overrules. And so even Nebuchadnezzar, who brought so much pain and anguish upon the nation of Israel when they were in captivity, Daniel said that he didn't get there by accident. And we have a responsibility. I think the best citizens ought to be God's people. I really do. Now, I don't want you to mistake me by thinking that I don't think it's important for you to vote or for you to get out there and express your opinion, because there's no one more passionate about what is going on in this country today than I am. I promise you that. And I'm the first one, usually. I'm one of the first two or three that vote early in Forney, Texas. I can tell you that. If you look at that list, you're going to see my name right up there at the top, because I think it's important for us to vote, to express our opinion. But at the end of the day, those are people that God has placed in position of authority, and I have a responsibility to respect that. And as a follower of Christ, I believe that's what God expects of us. I think that's exactly what he's laying out for us. He says that the one who bears the sword, in fact, that word sword there is a reference to a sword of execution. And while many of you might disagree with me, I believe that society has a responsibility when a capital crime has been committed to execute capital punishment. I think scripture bears that out. We have a responsibility as God's people to be good citizens, to live under our civil authority. All right, let's go on. Chapter 14. He says, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him. But watch this, not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or he falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it to honor the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, watch this, he abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. I love this. None of us live to ourselves. None of us die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, how many of you agree with this? We are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died, and he lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. I know, and I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing's unclean in itself, but it's unclean for anyone who thinks it is. For if your brother's grieved by what you eat, or you're no longer walking in love, but what you eat, do not destroy to the one for whom Christ died. Do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God, I love this, it's not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It's good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats because he's eating not from faith. And whatever's not of faith is sin. So here's principle number three. You ready? Principle number three is we can disagree without being disagreeable. We can disagree without being disagreeable. You know, it's sad, but some people can't even be in the same room with people who disagree with them. They don't want anything to do with people who disagree with them. Now, in this case, what Paul is talking about is something that the early church struggled with. In some ways, you might say that our struggles today are different. But in the New Testament, people didn't know what to do with meat that had been offered to an idol in sacrifice. Some felt like it was okay because, after all, that idol doesn't exist anyway. There's only one God. Did y'all know that? They're not a bunch of gods. There's only one God. So offering something to an idol that doesn't exist didn't really matter to them. But there were others who thought, you know what? It's not right to eat that. It's kind of partaking in that, to eat that meat. So there was a big disagreement because the early believers, many of them were Jewish. Some of them held on to Jewish traditions, and a lot of those traditions were feast, and specifically the Sabbath being Saturday. Early church started meeting on Sunday, and so there were some people who said, no, you ought to meet on Saturday, and so they had that argument. And what Paul is just simply saying is this. He's saying, look, just agree to disagree, and don't make this a matter of trying to convince the other person that you're right and they're wrong. Leave it up to God. Allow God to work in that person's heart and allow God to change that person's mind if it needs to be changed in the first place. And men and women, I just really believe that if we could learn to live by that, if we in the church could just learn to disagree without just being disagreeable about everything and looking for an argument, looking for a fight, if we could just learn to do that, I mean, how much better this world would be. I mean, honestly, are you going to sacrifice the soul of a neighbor or someone over something as simple as what you eat or what you drink? I mean, that's what it comes down to. All right, we got to wind this up. Look at chapter 15, verse 1. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Here's the last principle. My goal should be to live in such harmony with other followers of Christ that together we can glorify God and we can attract others to Him. That's my goal as your pastor. Man, like I said, I have plenty of opinions. I have a lot to say about what is going on in this world today. But when we come into this room and when we meet here on Sunday to worship, my goal, my desire is to do one thing, and that is to point you to the only person who can unify this madness, and that's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And that's what we desire to do. In closing this morning, I will say this. I did find this one verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2, it just simply says this. It says, a wise man's heart inclines him to the right, but a fool's heart, well, you can read the rest of that. Let's bow for prayer. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you so much this morning. What a privilege, Lord. What an honor. And I know that this is a topic that really does, God, it just kind of, it confronts us today. It's difficult. And we've turned it into something it should have never been. And I can't help but thank God the enemy just loves that. I mean, right here at Fellowship, I know, Lord, we have people in this room who, we were to start talking about certain things, we would have different opinions. But God, I think I know these people, and I think I know their heart, and I'm so grateful to be their pastor. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that one thing we know, one thing we truly understand, we're never going to live in a perfect world, not until Jesus comes. And I guess that's why, Lord, we would join with John in the Revelation and say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We long for a place where we can have perfect peace. We long for a place where we can have harmony and unity. Our church has become a little place like that where we can kind of shelter from all that's going on in our world today and just feel like there are people here who love us. So Lord, today, I guess if there's one thing that I could ask for, I'd ask you to help us love you most. And then help us to love each other more. God, I don't think we could ever love each other enough. I really don't. And I think that in the midst of what we're going through today as a culture and a society and a world, that it's that unity and harmony we have with each other that helps us get out there and rub shoulders and face it day in and day out. So I pray that you would bring us closer, closer to you, and then closer to each other. And God, that we would be able to disagree and not be so disagreeable. Thank you again. Thank you that your word is clearly outlined for us conduct that you expect from us in a fallen world. And I just pray that, first of all, you help me. God, I can't speak for anybody else, but I can say for myself. I just need your help and guidance to know when to speak and know when to stay silent. So I pray, God, you'd give us that wisdom. You'd move among us. You'd do great things here today. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message, and we invite you to join us again next week. Remember to visit us online at fellowshipforney.org for more information about our church, service times, and location. Thanks again.